Good morning. I am preaching at the four services this morning, and to facilitate that at the 11 o'clock hour, I will be preaching early in the service and then going to 11:07, and so we are offering the same rhythm and worship at 8 o'clock this morning. So I'm preaching first, and it gives us an opportunity to engage what we just heard Jackie read. Hunter, thank you for preaching last week. It also gives me a chance to thank Hunter for preaching at the 8 o'clock service last week. Happy New Year to everyone. There was a woman who had invited several dinner guests, and as everybody was gathering around the table, that awkward time came when she realized that nobody had been asked to say the blessing. And so she looked around and she started wondering who should say the blessing. And then her six-year-old daughter came to mind and said, "Honey, would you say the blessing for this meal that we're about to have?" And the little girl said, "Mommy, I have no idea what to pray." And her mother said, "Well, just say what I say when you pray." And so the little girl said, "Dear Lord, why in the world did I have all these people over for dinner?" Well, we're moving into a time with this new year of learning how to pray, of praying. And we're moving into time of worship. It's just about 21 hours. We'll be starting our 21 days of worship here in the sanctuary tomorrow morning. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to engage our prayer, to engage worship every day for 21 days, to just develop that as the start of our day for the new year and to be a catalyst, not just for these 21 days, but for the whole year. It is a time to fast, to disconnect with the world and connect more with God, to feed our soul so that we can connect with God better. It's an exciting time. The Apostle Paul lifts up several important teachings in this word that we heard from Ephesians. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was struck down on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. He had worked against Christianity. He had worked against Jesus. And God struck him down. And so it's not just by chance that he uses this word, wake up. This phrase, wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He had been struck down with a light on the road to Damascus, and he had been awakened. The Apostle Paul knew that you could sleepwalk through life spiritually. And he was awakened on the road to Damascus. And so that's the first word that we read in this strong image of waking up to the reality that God wants us to live. He wants our soul to live. And then he gives a teaching about be careful how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. Here we are, first Sunday of the year. First time we're in worship at 8 o'clock this year. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to do what God wants us to do this year. Let's not miss this opportunity. Let's be wise, not unwise, as we begin this new year. And then thirdly, the teaching here is Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, not on wine. You know, some versions say drunk with wine. And being drunk numbs your senses. It desensitizes you from what's going on around you. It's one of the problems with alcoholism and drinking to the point of getting drunk, is it desensitizes. But on the other hand, being filled with the Holy Spirit makes us fully alive of what God is doing. fully alive with what God is doing. So these three teachings I'd like for us to remember today, and as we begin these 21 days, wake up, live as the wise, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is stirring? What is stirring? Stirring, just begin with what stirring is not. Stirring is not stirring the pot. It's not creating trouble. It's a different kind of stirring. I've had stirrings in my life, and perhaps you have too, to where you awaken at 3 o'clock in the morning with something that you're feeling very strong. You're feeling a nudging. You're feeling God at work. You're getting a sense that you're supposed to do something you're not currently doing, or that you're supposed to do something in a different way than you're currently doing it. God prompts us, and a stirring is not a bad thing at all. It's just something we need to pay attention to when it comes. And there's big stirrings, there's smaller stirrings, there's stirrings all the while. But as we begin this new year, I would invite us to pay attention to God. And when you have one of those moments where you're moved, when you think, maybe I should do something about this, pay attention to that stirring. And better yet, make a movement. Put that stirring into action. The stirring of God is His Holy Spirit. The stirring of God is His grace, drawing us to where He wants us. And so we want to join in with what God is doing. Now, stirrings can be a lot of different things. I wanted to share with you just this acronym that might help us to just think about the different ways stirring might speak to all of us. First of all, if you just take the S in the word stirring, I think it's specific. The stirring that God places in us is a specific stirring, and it's for a specific reason. And it may not be anything huge. It can be smaller. It can be a smaller stirring. But God has something specific. He has you in mind. He has me in mind. He has our gifts that He's equipped us with in mind. And He stirs us for a particular, specific reason. The T is, it's timely. These stirrings come because it's the right time. Might not have been the right time 5 years ago. It may not be the right time 5 years from now. But the stirring comes at the right time, the time that God is ready. The I, that is for initiative. God initiates to us. God reaches out to us, but we have to reach back. We have to take a step back toward where God is stirring. We have to respond to God's initiative of grace. And so it is a time for us to initiate movement back to where God is prompting us to draw closer to God. God is drawing close to us. If we'll draw close to God, He'll draw even closer. The first R is for revival. These are the kind of times, with all that's going on in our world now, we could be all forlorn and say, oh, isn't it awful, all the things going on in the world. But then these are the very times that God brings revival in the church. He brings revival in our own souls and spirits. Often the more chaotic it is in the world, the more God is stirring toward revival. These are great times for the church. These are great times for Shalimar United Methodist Church. God is stirring. We want to join in with where God is stirring. The second R is for restore. Restore. Some God is stirring because you're hurting. Because you've been scarred by something. You've been bruised. God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to be restored and healed, made whole and well, not limping along, but to be fully alive and to have life not only return, the joy of life, but to have life better than you ever thought possible. God wants to restore. There's another eye in this word stirring, and that word, I hear the word instruction. We're not flying by the seat of our pants in the stirring. Is that we need God's word to direct us. We need a word to anchor us. We need God's teachings to guide us, to illuminate our stirring. So we read the word, we worship, and we open the word so that we can see specifically what God has in mind through his teaching. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he said, fan the flame. Fan the flame. You know, when you light charcoal, you have to light those initial bricks and get them going, and then you fan that flame and it spreads to the other bricks. In the same way, we fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. What God is doing is, what God is stirring, we fan that flame so that the Spirit may be more evident in us. The next letter is the letter N in stirring. And I hear that to mean our name. This is a very personal stirring. God knows your name. He knows my name. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows us. And he seeks to know us and to call us and to stir us because he does know us. Out of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, he knows us. And he stirs us by name. So we think this is a very personal stirring. We have the gifts. We have the personality that God wants to use to join in with his work in the world. The G is for God. When we follow a stirring, and when we step out there, join in with God, things are going to happen that the only explanation is that God did it. God did it. We're joining in with what is only possible if God does it. Our efforts fall woefully short. But God is able to do immeasurably more than we think or imagine, Paul says in Ephesians. We join in with what God is able to do, not limited by our efforts. And then the S in stirrings. Support. Our stirrings lead us to other people who have stirrings. And we're here to help and support other people in their stirring, in their journey, and to encourage and to walk alongside other people in their stirrings. And this is a beautiful image for the church. We're being stirred together. And we're here to work we're here to share in a work that's bigger than us, the work of the church. The church is ordained of God. And so we're joining in with others. We're joining in with the church to support what God's seeking to do. And we're joining in with something that is much bigger than we are. We can make a difference through the church. We can make a difference through Shalimar United Methodist Church. We're joining in to support others in this stirring. Now, 3 things I want to share with you very quickly today. Is this first message of wake up. Wake up. God is at work. Wake up. Tomorrow morning, we'll be in here at 6 o'clock. We'll need an alarm clock, most of us will, to make sure we're here on time. It'll be a time to wake up. 4:30 or so, 5 o'clock. Wake up. And that'll be the rhythm for 21 days to wake up. We need that spiritual clock to wake us up to, because our spiritual life is the most important dimension in our life. We may think with a new year, well, I'm going to work on my finances. We may think in our new year that we're going to work on our relationships. We might think in the new year we're going to lose some weight. But you know, we'll lose our weight, we'll have better relationships, and we will be able to do what we set out to do with our New Year's resolutions. And we're asking, really, we not make resolutions. And here's the reason. We give ourselves first to the Lord, and all of this is going to be impacted. Our weight loss, our relationships, our finances, because our spiritual life, that's our connecting center. So we're asking everybody to make that first. Wake up. God is at work. Join in with God, with your soul. Secondly, we want to be wise. And we want to understand the Lord's will. And understanding requires our observing and walking with the Lord on a daily basis. We don't get a full understanding on day one. It's a catalyst. What we'll be doing this week, it's a catalyst for the whole year. We grow in our understanding. We grow in our wisdom as we walk with God each day. And the call here by Paul is not to be foolish. You know, foolishness is easy in this world, isn't it? It is. The other day, I went out for a run, and I ignored the weather. I left the driveway, and it started misting, and I thought, no big deal. That'll be nice. A mile into the run, the mist became a rain. No big deal. It'll stop in a minute. Another mile came, and it was a downpour, and I was drenched. Had a kind person. It was at night, and she pulled up beside me, and she rolled down her window, and I wondered what in the world she was stopping for. And she said, "Can I take you somewhere?" And I just said to her, "You know, I made the decision to run today, and I got to live with my decision. Way too wet." You know, we live with our decisions, don't we? And what are our decisions going to be this year? Are they going to be wise decisions or foolish decisions? Are we going to look back in 6 months and say, you know, I've made foolish decisions again? The Lord, the teaching here is to be wise. And finally, we want to wake up, we want to be wise, and we want to make a move. This is important here, to make a move. To not just stay in the same place, to not be complacent. It's not okay. It's not okay to just go through another year without making a move spiritually. It's not. There's a commercial series that I've noticed watching some of the bowl games. And by the way, I know there's a ball game tomorrow night, and some of you are probably thinking about that ball game tomorrow night. And whether you're for Alabama or Clemson, I don't know. And I'm not going to ask, because that might divide the congregation up this morning too much. We want unity, right? But what I do know, I don't know who's going to win that game, but what I do know is that toward the end of the game, that they're gonna play to win, and the score might be 10-6 with 2 minutes left in the game, but I wouldn't be surprised if both teams scores with just a few minutes left in the game. That's the way it works sometimes. Is there's an urgency, and there's a sense that the outcome is being determined. So I've got to do something. The stakes rise. In the same way, this is that kind of time spiritually. The stakes are high, and we need to do something. It's urgent, and we need to be at our best spiritually. It's not okay to just continue each year as the previous year. There's a new series of commercials from AT&T. I've just been fascinated by these series. It's not okay. Have you seen those? There's a man in there about to have surgery. And he's talking to his doctor and he says, the doctor comes in and says, "Are you nervous?" And the patient says, "Yes." And the doctor says, "I am too." And then it goes on to say, "Well, you know what to do, right?" And the doctor's just being reinstated or something. And he says, "Well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out." But the whole message here is not okay. It's not okay to just be okay. And that's a message for us. It's not okay just to be okay. We are called to give our life fully to the Lord, to wake up, to join in with His movement, to make a move, to wake up and be a part of God's movement. I started this message with a little girl praying a prayer that she'd heard her mother say, but I'd like to end with a prayer of a little girl overheard that got her words mixed up. You know that little prayer that we've probably prayed and we've asked our children to pray. "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The little girl got her words mixed up and she said this instead. "If I should live before I die. If I should live before I die." That's the question for us as we begin a new year. Will we live in Jesus before we die? Will we live before we die? Wake up. God is stirring. Make a move to join in with God's movement. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for your stirring. We pray we'll pay attention to it and that we'll make a move and follow that stirring to where you're leading us this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.